Yeah, we started this project in 2009. We were actually staying in New York for some time, and so we thought, you know, we used to take the subways pretty often, and so then we used to keep talking about this whole thing about how, you know, we meet so many different kinds of people in the subway, and New York itself is like a big melting pot of cultures, and, you know, and the subway system is where, you know, it's the transport is the lifeline of New York. So we thought, okay, fine. You know, when we took the subways, we found that very interesting to see so many cultures, you know, colliding and meeting as a, you know, in one place. So we thought, okay, fine. You know, this whole thing, and moreover, the colors of the subway system in New York really kind of attracted us. I mean, of course, it would attract anybody, and because it's so colorful and so vibrant. So we thought, okay, how about, you know, how would it be if we kind of merge the visuals and the sounds that are emanating in the subway. We just wanted to see how that would kind of, you know, when that put together, you know, how would it feel, and how would it make a difference in people's interactions. So that's how this whole, and of course when we met the musicians, we used to, you know, stand and listen to the musicians pretty often, different people playing at different times, and so we thought, you know what, why not? Why don't we put this in a package? Why don't we see how it, why don't we give it our dimension, our perspective to this whole concept of music and the visuals and the trains and the sounds and the mechanical life of New York. So that's kind of how the whole project started. So
yeah, when so people as such, so everybody, I mean, New York is a busy city, right? Like everybody is traveling for work and to do things, and they're all running around literally. So if you just go on a busy day, working day, like 9 or 8 in the morning, you can see people literally like pushing each other and just running to catch up the train. And when you cross, when you take the train, you suddenly see like there are some people who are just playing instruments, right? And then I started to wonder, like, how many people do really listen to the music, and why are they playing in such a busy place, right? They know that not everybody are going to like listen to the music, but still they play there. Why do they do that? And moreover, like, so does that playing music really affect anybody? Does it change something in you? So that's thoughts like which we had. So then, yeah, even I was working there, so I was taking my busy day. I started my busy day and I was going, like, and there are like some days like where you're like totally like, you know that, okay, at 10 o'clock you have this appointment, you have to do this, that. And when you listen to the music, and actually it happened in one of the stop, like where the train was there, I mean, it stopped there, and there was this musician playing, so it was a wonderful music, right? Then I stopped, I mean, I was just like passing by, and I was sitting in the train, and it's like only like 10 or 50 seconds the door opens. And I listened to the music in the 10 seconds, and it really made a difference. That music got into me, and it just like softened the day. I mean, it took the stress out of me, kind of like the pressure out of me. So then I was thinking, like, yeah, it really makes a difference, right? Though it's like a loud place, the music really affects the people, and it does make a difference to everybody there. And if you are like free, then you can just like sit there and relax and enjoy the music. Otherwise, on the way, you just like hear something and just go with the day.
It's like once you get to the underworld, so beneath the ground, so you can stay all day, right? People from different times, not only specific time people play, it's mostly through the day. You can see different people playing different instruments and just go hopping from one station to the other station, from different lines, from red line, blue line, and all. You will see a lot of people, and people traveling from different directions, and the music played is very different in different places, right? Some people take the specific stations, I mean, repeatedly playing in the station, and some people in different stations also. That's kind of very diverse, and so kind of you enjoy it, right? Just you don't have to go out to relax or enjoy, but even under the ground there are a lot of things that is happening.
I remember we wanted to you know, document the musicians and the people who listen to it and all that, but then there is something much more to the whole scenario there, you know, something else going on there, people running, you know, in one direction, and then there's something, you know, getting into their heads, and then maybe, you know, I like it, so they just stop for a second, but then there's something much more bigger happening there. Somebody is trying to put what's inside from their heart as, you know, as art, as music, into, you know, the busy lives. And if you travel, if you take the subway just for one day, it's like you might just come across one or two musicians. But you're doing this regularly throughout the year, you could meet like hundreds of them. And then there's all this music that comes into you, and you don't need any language to, you know, understand music. That's the best part of it. Art, you know, that comes out of the musician. And for the person to play that, I mean, there, this whole deciding on what we want to share with the people who will see the film was very difficult for us while making the movie, because you could just always talk to musicians and be like, oh, you're from there, you're from here, you come here in the morning, you play from 8 to 5 and then you get so much money, you know. But that's not what exactly they're doing, you know. I mean, that's just a part of their routine. But then they're there to affect people who travel. And even, like, there was one musician, I think Glenn Roth, who was on the guitar. He said, my music, the air inside is very hostile. You know, people don't smile at each other. They're just doing their own thing. And then they pass 10 seconds through me. I hope my music does something to them. So that's why they're there for. And some of them, they don't care about the rest. They're just there bringing out just the art outside, you know, to release their... but, you know, the energy, the... what do you say? The dynamics of the whole situation. People from all over the world being there, and then there's a floating population in New York, you know, like tourists. And then it's amazing how they mix into the whole pot. So we had to get a big picture out of it instead of showing the regular.
Yeah, we just don't want this to be like about a documentary about the musicians, how their life is, how much they earn or something. Mm-hmm. It's how the music affects the people, and that's our main theme on this. Mm-hmm. And that's what we want to show, like music can really make a difference, and how it does, like, to such busy people there in New York City, right?
Mm. Actually, one of the very interesting things that we found was, even though there are so many people in New York, I mean, New York is a very populated city, New York City, and despite all that, there is an alienation that you find in people. You know, it's the alienation that really, because when we travel in the subways, and, you know, you just notice people, right? You're noticing people, and each one is in their own worlds. Though, you know, they are, I mean, not a lot of people have, like, friends who can call their own. You know, they have friends, they know people, they have people that they work with, but it's not like they're still alienated, you know, in their apartments, in their works, in their, because it's such a competitive environment, you know. People don't even, they don't care to, you know, say, you know, don't, you know, they I mean, people want to have fun, but then they don't want to really care about each other, what each does. So it kind of, that kind of an individuality kind of alienates the people, and the subway trains actually make them come really close together for those few moments. So that way the music kind of, you know, it negates the alienation some way, you know, because there are here and there, you know, like millions of people listening to, I mean, having their own lives. They have independent lives. They have things that, you know, they're always worried about their jobs being lost, you know, or being, you know, whatever. There are like so many reasons that that they're not happy about. But those few moments, I think, there's some, this, the universality of the music really connects them. Though they are all alienated, at that point, in those few seconds, it kind of brings them together, because they are listening to the same guy sing, or, you know, to the girl dance, or to the people that are like playing the drums and the congas and all that. So I think that is one thing that is a really positive thing about the New York City subway musicians, that they bring about in New York's people.
Mm. get, I guess, the resonance, you know, like you said, something starts in me, some kind of vibration. I bring it out as art, as music, and then you take it in, you know, through your senses. You're physically taking it in, you're breathing it in, and then it does something to you, and then you add something to it, a feeling, and you let it out. So, and somebody else is taking the same thing in, and you know, it passes on from one to the other. Whether you wouldn't have listened to the music as such, you know, I would be on the train, I would just be passing that platform, but somebody else listens to that music and it's all in, you know, inside him or her, and then that comes, that energy is, you know, sent out. So it's a very highly complex and beautiful thing that's going on. Even if you would see from the on the outside, it would be like either they would be very rigid, or you know, they'd be in motion, or they'd be on their phone, but it still gets to them one way or the other. So
you know, like nowadays you see a lot of people having the headphones and they are kind of in their own world, right? And when they see people like this, they just stop, break that whatever their individual space, and then come to the common space where these people are playing the music.
Yeah, we see there a lot of that.
A lot of people just all of the iPods. You know, otherwise, like you see people just hearing their own music and just going by themselves. They are in their own world, but this kind of stops. And usually, like you don't see many people when there is some train passing by, and if one person stops, it's kind of contagious. You see like a lot of people come and stop, and then the crowd starts pulling in. I mean, a lot of people get
stuck. It's instinct, right?
Instinct. Yeah. It's kind of triggering. You see like two people, they are stopping by, then they just stop and then take the headphones and then stop for some time till their next train, or they miss the train, one or two trains, listen to the music, and then they take that. It's very interesting.
It gets to you, the energy. Right?
And even if you see towards the end, there is one lady who loses her job, and then she hears that music, and then she's kind of very impressed, and she kind of gets...
It's a very human thing, right? It's very human. You know, something that we keep forgetting once in a while, but then it's there. It's inside. It's dormant. Sometimes it just comes up, just human. Nothing about competition or money or status or anything. So in that case, I think music, you know, plays a very, very major role. Art plays a major role in retaining humanity in humans. If not for art.
It was impressive to see a man playing guitar for another man. Only those two people. He was playing for someone, and he was enjoying the concert just for himself.
Yeah.
Yes.
A total solo concert.
Very true.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I feel like they are not really like playing for money or anything, right? They're just playing for the love of music. And that you can see it in the people like who are playing there. So there are like a lot of people who said that they are playing for like 25 years and 30 years, right? So
yeah,
without loving music, if it's a job, he wouldn't do that, right? It's something which he loves and want to do and want to share it with everybody, and that's why he's playing it there.
And so the tube, the metro, was the right place to contact all different kind of people, and the contact is between all different kind of musicians coming from all over the world. Everyone has his instrument and maybe his traditional music, and the people who pass there can just think, I'm so happy I could hear such a music that otherwise I never could find by myself.
Yeah, there was this Chinese mountain violin that he was playing. We could never, you know, I mean, just go there. He brought the soul of the mountains there.
And and there was the African, and there was the people from South America, and so many.
And there's this one person who was playing playing music with a saw, saw instrument.
Yeah, with the saw and the violin bow.
How can somebody make an instrument, musical instrument, out of it, right? Like, so that was like so surprising and
like
amazing to see
the flow of creativity, you know. It's
and
like
moreover, like, as you said, like, it's like a, normally if you are in India, you only listen to all the Indian music and stuff like that. But if you are there, then you can listen to all the different kinds of music around the world in one place. Like, And people, like, they sing opera and all those things which are happening right in
and it's not intentional, right? You know, otherwise you have to bring, make a concert and bring people from different countries or a music festival. This is like a festival throughout the year.
Self-managed. Self-managed place, self-managed stage, you know. And self-managed music and instruments.
Yeah.
Self-made.
Amazing.
There's no doors, there's no windows. You just come, you just
no
go.
No limit.
Absolutely no.
So this show how and there are no limits.
And the rhythm of the trains actually, you know, though they are so mechanical, I think it provides like a nice, like a background score to this whole musical you know, concert.
It could get very lonely, you know. Like, there was this girl who said if she doesn't listen to music one day, it's very lonely, you know, up there. It could really, because with all the mechanical sound, just the trains and the machines and all that.
Yeah. And the interesting thing is, you know, we never found one Indian musician there. And, you know, and we were the only Indians.
I wanted to sing there. Nobody would give me company. Then, you know, seriously, these boys, they wouldn't.
Yeah, that
know,
was really funny because, you know, where's an Indian museum? We have like tons of musicians.
We don't want to stop people from taking the train right now. That's why we're not singing.
Maybe you were shy, but the other musicians, they
were
not.
They are not. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, you know.
Or maybe there are. Maybe we didn't. You know.
No,
we didn't.
I don't
look
think
at
so.
All the places.
I don't think so. We talked to so many, hundreds of people.
Maybe because they are musicians, and maybe you are a filmmaker. And you have another way to express yourself, and I can see through the movie. Everybody see the movie, so this is your way. You're not shy to show the movie, and in the technique you use, show the mixing of like the music and the people.
Yeah.
Different
well,
from
I didn't know
countries.
What to talk before the movie, so
yeah, that's why like we made a movie and showing it to the people.
I mean, that talks for itself, right? Sometimes your work, so you just, just keep quiet and then have people to.
Actually, there was somebody who wanted to buy the video.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he asked me.
Okay.
So, that's it.
Actually, the first people whom we interviewed, they were from Italy, right? The first shot we had,
they were the
couple who were singing.
The girl who was singing, the Gaia group.
The Gaia group.
Oh, very
sweet
people.
The first show, like...
They were just there for 2 months, right? They'd come on a vacation. So they just brought in buckets and some mic and all. They were very good. So,
that's the first thing.
Gaia. Gaia, remember. Gaia Grove or something. That's what their band is called. So
they were joined you in the same place. Here in Auroville?
No, in New York.
Hi, New York.
When we took our camera,
first,
those are the first musicians we
that we got was that group, the Gaia.
First musicians who were playing. And I mean, when we thought about the project, when we started shooting,
they were the first musicians we met
and we started shooting from there.
Actually, the funny thing is, like, we lived in New York City, like, for around, like, 6 months. And we never started doing this documentary. We moved to New Jersey, then we said, okay, we have to do a documentary about it.
And we kept traveling
every day, like 45 minutes train ride to come to shoot this documentary.
Yeah, we always do that. We always do it. Take the
there are a lot of places in Auroville we would like to see. But since that we are here, we don't see that. You just go back, you go to a far off place, then we say like we have to go see it. It's like
anyway, you are experiencing this place.
Yeah.
And this place is almost like the metro, the tube.
because many people from all over the world, everybody is bringing
his own experience and maybe giving his own work by the experience they have.
That's
and
true.
So it's the same world everywhere.
And there's a lot of art which, you know, we haven't even set foot on here. You know, there's so much going on.
I think even New York is not exactly, I mean, I think New York is not exactly a representative of what America is. I mean, because New York City itself is like a very different world from the rest of the other states of the US. Because even a lot of Americans haven't really experienced New York City the way it should be, I think. I mean, and it's and you can see, and the thing about New York is you can see people, they're speaking different languages. You can't really, you can't just go to a place and expect to hear English being spoken, because, you know, either there's, you know, here there's Italian, here there's Hindi, and here there's,
I mean,
Chinese, Korean, you know.
Languages even we and don't even know the names about,
yeah,
right?
Even there are some languages we can't make out what they're talking, and we have to, like, okay, can you please tell us what...
What,
you know,
language you're speaking? Oh, okay.
And they'll say something and we'd be like, what is that? So I think that's a very beautiful thing about New York, and
yeah,
which the rest of America doesn't have,
yeah,
because...
I mean, you know, I don't know, even the major cities in the world, I don't know how much the diversity is, you know, the richness and the mix.
Yeah.
But New York is attracting people from all over the world,
yeah, yeah,
especially
yeah,
about art.
Yes,
yeah,
yes, yes, very much about art.
The New York has the maximum number of artists and performers per square mile.
And also there are like some people saying that some big musicians in different countries, like whose concert ticket will be like sold out, they came and played in the,
I think once they did,
yeah,
that, right?
They,
yeah,
they played in the subway, in New York City subway, and nobody stopped to listen to the music. So it's
and this guy was like a famous guy, and
I forget
people used
his
to pay
name. There was
hundreds
this
of dollars to watch his concert.
So it's called
Houseful,
right? Houseful, right? And now when he's like playing for free in New York City subway and nobody listened to it, right?
There's no crowd.
So it's,
because
so it's not the fame or anything here, it's just the music which can stop,
yeah,
you.
Because
if it's like really enters in you, then you stop there and listen to it, right?
If that
so
was an experiment,
yeah, exactly,
right?
Yeah.
They did something like that. Very interesting.
So.
Because they cater to particular groups of people, you know, who... But this is like the mass, you know, the people...
And more like if it's a concert is like full, then you tend to think, okay, so many people like that music, maybe something is good. And you'll try to listen to it, but you wouldn't like it, but you'll still say, like, okay, a lot of people like it, so there has to be something, maybe, which I don't get it. But it's
so,
not like this.
There was one guy who is a pianist, and he was carrying that piano to different stations, you know, like, it's kind of so huge, and he was taking it to
the
basement.
The clogging guy, right?
Clogging guy,
the,
and he was playing.
The tap dance.
At the same time, there was another team who was documenting that the pianist who was traveling like across America, and he was playing in New York.
He's like getting it under, and
so his playing was so good. I mean, he had a vertical piano. It was very interesting to see that. And there is a clogging team who are just doing the boot dance, tap dance, and piano guy. You know, different people, they just come together and then they perform underground, which is free of cost. Yeah, that too in New York. If you go over the road, like, it's kind of...
Yeah. See, it's free.
New York, nothing is free. But subway music is free.
Yeah, and people
yeah,
like free, you know.
Especially, I saw people play music also. I mean, it was invited to play music with a strange instrument,
yeah,
that he
yeah,
didn't know what was. And
yeah,
then
the steel drum, right?
The player,
yeah,
the music player was explaining, okay, here there is do,
yeah,
and
right,
this is re, and this is... and the people saw not only dancing, not only appreciating,
yeah,
but
yeah,
also
involving,
maybe
involved,
yeah,
yeah,
in the music to play.
It's
a good link with the people, we can say in the end. It's a good link.
Yeah, that's really nice. So, thank you.
That's,
thank you so much.